The deadline to sign up for health insurance through healthcare.gov is less than a week away. Next Monday, the 31st, is the last day to sign up in 2014.
According to a Fox 11 report out yesterday, there are about 500,000 uninsured people in Wisconsin, and only 75,000 of them have signed up for healthcare through the exchanges to date.
Today in our Teach Me What You Know segment, we're going to learn how to sign up for insurance through healthcare.gov. Each week during this segment, we spend about 10-15 minutes learning how to do something new. Nonpartisan Consumer Reports set up a website to help navigate the process. It's called healthlawhelper.org. Nancy Metcalf, senior editor and healthcare expert at Consumer Reports, joins us to share some guidance. Nancy, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Well, the deadline is coming up quick, March 31st, the end of the month, to sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. What happens if you need to sign up by then but don't?
If you don't have insurance, by March 31st, or a completed application for insurance, you can't get insurance again until 2015. That means that if you come down with appendicitis in August and have to have your appendix out, the hospital is going to send you a bill for $30,000. How are you going to pay that?
Hmm.
You're not going to have a way to.
And if someone already has insurance and they're not about to lose it, they're not worried about this deadline, right? It's just people who currently don't have insurance.
Yes, if you already have insurance, if you have insurance through a job, if you have Medicare, if you have Medicaid, you're all set. You don't have to do anything. It's people who don't have insurance or people who have there are a few people left who have plans that are sort of holdovers from last year, which were supposed to be eliminated but haven't been. And, in fact, the government recently announced that if you have those plans, you can keep them for another couple of years. But I would encourage people who have those plans to check, go on our online tool, healthlawhelper.org, or go on to the health marketplace, healthcare.gov, and check to see whether you can do better, because you may be able to. There's lots of financial help available for moderate and low-income households to buy health insurance.
Well, speaking of healthcare.gov, of course, a lot of the news when that first rolled out was that it was not working at all or not very well. Where is that today? How glitchy is it now?
Not glitchy at all. It's working extremely well. It's not that it's perfect for everybody, but I would say the chances are extremely high if you go on there that you can get through the process without any trouble. It's night and day different than it was last fall.
One of our producers went on just a little while ago and found himself in a virtual waiting room. He was asked to gather his information and stand by. Is that still happening pretty often?
Well, it happens sometimes. And since we're kind of at the very, very last days of the process now, it's likely to happen because there's a lot of procrastinators out there, and you're just going to have to be brave and get yourself through it.
And as always, the site is often clogged by journalists, I think. Well, assuming you get through that virtual waiting room, about how long does it take to sign up for health care?
You know, it's kind of like doing your income taxes. In fact, it's exactly like doing your income taxes, because the financial help that's available through the marketplace is completely based on your taxable income. Your modified adjusted gross income, it's called. So you're going to be asked for the same kinds of financial information that you use to prepare your tax return. Since it's tax season anyway, you probably have that to hand. Have it out and ready, because you're going to need it to apply for health insurance. What you don't need anymore is any information about your health history. They don't care. Everybody gets to buy health insurance. No pre-existing condition exclusions anymore.
So if I've got everything I did to prepare taxes, that's all the info I'm going to need, pretty much?
It's entirely about income now, yes.
And those are the kind of questions you'll answer on the site? Walk us through the procedure. What questions do they ask? What do we fill out there?
Well, what you're going to be asked, one thing you're going to be asked is whether you have any insurance now. Because if you have Medicare or if you have insurance through a job, you're not going to be able to get financial help to buy insurance on the marketplace. What this marketplace is designed for is people who are buying insurance on their own, don't have access to Medicare because they're not old enough, or don't have access to job-based insurance, either because their employer doesn't offer it, they work part-time, or they're self-employed, and they don't have anybody to buy it for them except themselves. These are the people for whom the marketplace is designed, and these are the people that the marketplace is going to ask additional questions about income.
At Consumer Reports, you've put up a website to help guide us through the process. How does that work? What do we get from going on that website?
Well, again, it's healthlawhelper.org. We did it because we've found that a lot of people still really don't understand how the law works. What they've kind of tuned it out, I think, maybe because there's been so many political arguments about it. Of course, we're not political. What we're interested in is for consumers who don't have health insurance or don't have affordable health insurance to get what they're now entitled to. So you go on there, you enter very basic information about what you expect your income to be in 2014, how many people live in your household, where you live, how old you are, and it will tell you what kinds of help you may be eligible for. It can be different from state to state, depending on whether the state is expanding Medicaid or not. There's a children's Medicaid called CHIP, different income levels for that. But Health Law Helper knows all that, and so they will tell you what your household may be eligible for, and then they will send you off. We'll send you off to wherever you need to go to access that.
We're going to post that website on the Central Time Facebook page, by the way. One thing very comforting when I went to look at it, it said something like 51% of people are confused about the impact of the health care law. I think anybody who feels confused will be happy to know they're not alone there.
They are certainly not alone.
Once we are through the Consumer Reports site and we're on the healthcare exchange, we've got some shopping to do and some decisions to make. How do we choose what healthcare plan we want?
You know, one of the big misconceptions I hear from consumers is, do I have to buy the government plan? Well, if you're purchasing insurance through the health marketplace, you're not going to be able to buy a government plan because there aren't any. All of the plans for sale on the marketplaces are private insurance plans from insurance companies you've probably already heard of, Blue Cross, you know, United Healthcare, Oxford, whatever. Mm-hmm. So your big decision is going to be which one to pick. You're going to have some choices. It's important to note that every single plan for sale on these marketplaces is good insurance in that there is no upper limit on what they will cover. You know, if you need an organ transplant, it costs $2 million, they'll pay for it. And it covers all kinds of medical care, anything that a person would need throughout the course of their life, maternity care, mental health care, rehab, doctors, hospitals, drugs, you know, pediatrics, preventive care, the whole gamut, ambulances, everything, emergency care. So you don't have to worry, as you did in the old days, about accidentally ending up with a plan that didn't cover stuff.
But there are deductibles
and not finding out until it's too late.
There are deductibles and copays to figure out, right?
There are deductibles and copays. You're going to find three levels of plans: bronze, silver, and gold. Again, they all cover the same stuff. The difference is the bronze plans have lower premiums, but you're going to be paying more out of pocket when you access the care. Silver plans, kind of in the middle. Gold plans, higher premiums but lower out-of-pocket, meaning lower deductibles, lower copays, and so on. No matter which plan you get, the most you will ever have to pay out-of-pocket for health care in a year is $6,350, which is your kind of catastrophic upper limit if something horrible should happen. Most people wouldn't ever come near that, but that's your upper limit. So if you end up needing, you know, having some catastrophe, cancer treatment, or some terrible accident, and you have a six-figure medical bill, you're going to be paying very little of it.
There are some subsidies to help pay the premiums out there. How do we figure out if we're eligible and how much we get?
Well, our tool, healthlawhelper.org, will tell you whether you're eligible. To find out exactly how much you're entitled to, you need to go to healthcare.gov. Go through the process, and at the end of that, you will be told what your subsidy is. It's based on your income, your age. It's a formula. And then once you know what the subsidy is, you'll be told start shopping for plans, and then you can pick out whichever plan you want and apply your subsidy to that. And the subsidy works in a very helpful way. You can use it month to month. So say you get a subsidy for $100 a month. You pick out a plan with a $350 a month premium, you're only going to have to pay $250 of it up front. every month. The government will send the insurance company a check for its share of the cost. So it's very helpful. And these subsidies go up to pretty high income levels. A family of five can get a subsidy with an income of up to $110,000 a year. A couple can get a subsidy with an income of up to $63,000 a year. So I think people are surprised. About 80% of the people purchasing insurance on healthcare.gov are getting these subsidies.
As you mentioned, if we don't sign up by the deadline, we're waiting till 2015. If we do sign up by the deadline, when does coverage kick in?
Well, since it's towards the end of the sign-up period, it's probably not going to kick in until April 1st. But as long as you enroll by the end of March, you won't be fined for not having insurance in 2014.
And if someone out there knows they need to sign up, they feel daunted, overwhelmed by the process, can you leave us with some advice for them?
There are places to get help. There's an 800 number that you can call. Because there's probably a last-minute rush, there's going to be some waits for those calls. There are also local helpers in every area who can walk you through the process personally. To find those, you want to go to localhelp.com/healthcare.gov, put in where you live, and you'll get a list of places that you can call.
Nancy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Nancy Metcalf, senior editor and healthcare expert at Consumer Reports. The last day to sign up for health insurance through healthcare.gov is Monday, March 31st.
The website that Nancy Metcalf mentioned that will help you navigate the enrollment process is healthlawhelper.org, and there's a link at the Central Time Facebook page.